Going. Hey everyone. So it's obviously Irene. It's the sixth training call for us this session. We're going to get into anger and healthy aggression part two, numero deux. And just a reminder that part one was not last week, but the week before that. And so it's a pretty big topic, and we'll get into this today. And I just prompted and asked folks who are here live, so obviously to those listening to the recording, thanks for being here. Where is everybody at within the lessons in the labs? Because we're deep into the labs. One person said, I feel so behind with the exercises. So as I've said before, there is no behind. Yes. You know that it's where you are at. Of course, it's important to get in and do the work. We don't want full resistance and procrastination to keep you from doing something. But also know that we really want the capacity to build slowly, right? And that's obviously the theory and the learning, but also the practice. So be very aware and conscious of how your self-talk might talk to you about being behind, because I can guarantee you that it can make you even more behind the more you ruminate on how behind you are. As one of my favorite somatic experiencing colleagues and senior assistant has said in the past, his name is Anthony Wheeler. He has some great resources on his site, Anthony Twig Wheeler. Twig is his nickname. I'm going to swear. He often will say, sometimes you got to cut that shit out. Just cut that shit out. That mind is telling you that you're behind and you're never going to get anywhere. You really want to listen to where is that coming from? Where is that from? It's usually not a script that you created. It's something that was taught to you when you were young, and then it just gets driven into the brain and into the mind. So there is no behind. It's like there is no spoon, if you know that reference. There is no behind. So someone said they're on lab three, the joints, wonderful. Round two, obviously alums at, so still at lab four. So you're at lab four, right? See, again, there's that languaging. I'm still at lab four. You're at lab four. Great, that's better than lab zero, right? So just really take stock of how much you have done, even if it's just the first lesson from lab one, right? Better to do that over and over again than to do nothing at all. Starting at lab five, someone said, lab three, potent posture and joints. Someone said, feels like I'm in shutdown. Maybe this is freeze, possible. Middle of lab six, working with layers. Someone said the anger is still in the body. I have to be patient. Yes. You don't want to unleash anger when it's not quite ready to come out. When anger is ready to come out, it'll come out. Guarantee it. It'll come out and it'll be effortless. Effortless, like a river that's raging, right? With no dam. It's just open to flow and it produces lots of energy. So we need the system to be ready for that big energy when anger comes out. Yeah, someone said still on lab one. So there we go. There's that again, still. You're on lab one, wonderful. Lab six, lab two, containment, lab five. And someone said, but how do you catch up? You just keep going. You just go, you start where you're at and you just keep working through it. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Yeah. So really listen to the words that you use about being behind. I'm only here. I'm still here. Take your time. Go slow. The content isn't going anywhere. It'll be there for you tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But little bits is the most important thing. All right. Thanks, everyone. Okay, let's get into the call. I'm going to have a little water. All right. So Training call number six. Let's get into the handout. So a little review. So anger as medicine as additional resources. So actually on page five, I do have a reference here. Some of you know this, some of you might not. It depends if you've worked through my YouTube videos. But if you go to my YouTube channel, not now, but later, there's a whole playlist. If you don't know what a playlist is, on YouTube channels, sometimes people will curate and put themes into these little playlists, like a mixtape, but different. And all of our anger and healthy aggression videos and special topics are there. So that's one way that you can just kind of immerse in that topic. So just remember that there's additional resources on my channel around that. So anger as medicine, additional resources. Why is working with the emotion anger? So we'll get started onto the blanks here. Why is working with the emotion anger and developing healthy aggression? Healthy aggression. One of the toughest things to unwrap. My personal sense is that we're trying to teach and learn something that we rarely see modeled in a positive, powerful way. Okay, so how many here, hands up or put in the chat, had healthy aggression modeled in a positive way growing up? Not me, someone said, never. No. And then there's two sides. One side is it was violent. Who had the violence? And the, yeah. And then some people are like, there was maybe nothing. No emotion. Everything was fine. Everything was fine. As mom or dad smiles, loathing under their skin about the partner that they probably shouldn't be with anymore. One might say that that is almost as toxic as the violence because it's hidden. And when a little person feels something's off, but they can't see it, it confuses them. And then they think something's wrong with them. Whereas if they're seeing, and I'm not saying that violence is good, but if they're seeing that happen, they're like, oh, declarative memory. Remember the declarative memories from Biology of Stress number five? Yeah, I just saw mom hit dad. I just saw dad hit mom. I just saw mom throw a plate across the wall. That's not good. Whereas when everything is okay, there's this underlying tension. And Kathy Kane, one of my mentors, will say, kids will go, I think she used the term bonkers, bananas, crazy, when adults don't like each other, but they're hiding it. So for anyone here who is in a relationship and you have unfinished emotions and business with your significant other and you're raising children, be very careful with that. Because the little ones will pick up on that and then they'll act out. And then they'll often be the ones that get punished at school because it'll often come out at school because they don't want to misbehave in the confinement of a very straight-laced home system, right? This is so common with kiddos when they go to school. They'll bully, they'll lash out. But it's usually them trying to get something out that they're feeling at home. Not always. You know, sometimes there's terrible teachers and that causes that too, but something to be aware of. So thanks for all your comments. Yeah, the other person, another comment someone had here, silent treatment, being given the silent treatment, right? Okay, so this is in reference to why I think this is a hard one to figure out and understand. It's like we're walking in the dark. We've never seen this path in a healthy way. And so we're literally learning a new language when we've maybe never even seen or heard of this language, like learning Sanskrit or Latin. Very difficult if you've never seen it, never heard it. Whereas, you know, you can fake some languages without knowing how to say them, but you've heard them. You've heard the inflections, you've heard how they are, and kind of pretend that you might know a language. But with anger, it's often one that is trickier to decipher. And that's why we wait until later in the labs, later in the course to get into this. And we never say to anyone, come on, you got to rush and get that anger out of your system. It really needs to come naturally, organically, when the system has enough capacity to handle the big energy of this emotion, of this sensation. So I have here in pink, all caps. So expression and containment versus explosion and violence. So I use an example, a couple, gosh, I don't remember when, but it was the example of road rage. Do you remember this example? Someone cuts you off in traffic and you get a little hot-headed and you're pissed off because they did cut you off and you almost got an accident and you squeeze your steering wheel. And you might do a little growl or you might swear, but you contain it. You don't start driving recklessly and violently. You don't go chasing that person down and playing cat and mouse with them on a highway that's making everyone else at danger, right? That would be explosion and being more violent in something like that. Whereas you feel the anger, you express it in your own system. You don't bottle it up, but you don't explode it out such that that can harm other people, right? So part of also working with anger and healthy aggression is ensuring that we are moving that energy out and we're containing it. Containing doesn't mean suppression. Containing means we're not exploding it. It's like the dam isn't being burst and everything is getting flooded. If I use that example of a hydroelectric dam with a big river, right? It's contained. It's actually a good analogy if you think about it. If you've ever gone to a big dam, has anybody gone to a big dam and you see how that water is being contained in the reservoir? And then they let it out for energy. I've seen situations, not funny when I think about it, but where this happened on our highway here, actually in Whistler, a long time ago, someone didn't realize the dam wasn't open for whatever reason, might've been an electrical malfunction and it didn't get released and it flooded the entire highway and the highway was up for 2 weeks because it was so much water that just, and it washed out the entire road, right? So it wasn't being let out in a titrated way. There was so much water, it flooded and it bursted, everything burst and it caused destruction. So there's a natural example where we put something man-made in and it had to be released, but it wasn't. So we can see that in reference to humans and how you are someone in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 30s, and you've held in so much anger and aggression and fight flight, we do not want that to come out in one big burst because it can fracture the system. It can make it such that the system has a flare of some kind of condition, or even something mental becomes a little over the top. And so again, hence titration, capacity building, and learning how to listen to those other impulses of your body, because that's helping those balls from your swimming pool release in little bits or not letting them come in and stick. So that was a few multi analogies to really hit home why we want to work with anger and healthy aggression over time. It's not about getting it out really quickly. It's about titrating it out. And then when the capacity is really big, then the big expressions can come out with quite a lot of ease and such that the system feels really good afterwards. And that's what you want to feel like after you express a big anger piece or a big healthy aggression piece. You want to feel more liberated. You don't want to feel fatigued and exhausted like you've just been, you know, through a marathon. You want to feel more energy than less energy. And that's how you might figure out with trial and error, oh, I think I went a little too far. I have to have a nap for the next 3 days after I express that boundary or had a big screaming session in the comfort of my own home. If you're fatigued for days or even a day or even a half a day and you can't keep moving, then that's a sign that you've probably done a little too much. Hope that makes sense. So I'm going to read, I really love this paragraph. This is from a different kind of book, not one of my trauma books. This is from a book called The Essential Edgar Cayce. Some of you may know who this man was. He's long passed. He died in 1945. He was considered the father, actually, of holistic healing. All of his remedies were done through psychic means, and they were all holistic and all natural. And so this is an excerpt from one of the books written by someone who really studies him, Mark Thurston. And so this is in reference to anger. So I will read this out loud. Anger is an emotion directly related to saying no. Of course he, and in this case, it's Edgar Cayce, of course, he isn't saying we need to run around blowing our stacks every day, but he did emphasize the need to express anger in the right way. And then I quote, he quotes, "Be angry, but sin not. For he that never is angry is worth little." But then Cayce adds how important it is to have a container for that anger. And this is another quote from Cayce. He speaks a little differently. This is like late 1800s. "But he that is angry and controlleth it not is worthless." Note here that the control does not mean suppression, but proper direction. It's a crucial distinction. I just love this paragraph because it just, again, this is someone from a long time ago who was working with people who were unwell and sick. And even back then, he knew the importance of having this energy come out, but to control it in a way that doesn't harm and is violent. Okay. So in the nervous system and somatic experiencing world, Peter Levine explains titration. So now I'm going to go into titration a little bit. Because in order to control and release anger and healthy aggression in a way that isn't violent, as Cayce would say, blowing our stacks everywhere, we need to understand titration. And that is these little bits of expression. So this is Peter speaking, we use titration to create increasing stability, resilience, and organization. Titration is about carefully touching into the smallest drop. Think about this drop, not a cup, not a bucket, a drop. Drop of survival-based arousal and other difficult sensations to prevent re-traumatization. I use the term titration to denote a gradual stepwise process of trauma renegotiation. This is from his book, In an Unspoken Voice. So what that basically means is how can we feel these little bits? He has survival-based arousal. So that would be flutters, what we might call anxieties, which are really the fight flight. It could be in the moment. It could be old stuff that's coming up. So how can we feel these little things and difficult sensations? So tightness in the gut, throat, heat, emotions, tears, pain even, if you can recall, or just to refer the lessons, tense and relax and finding the painful and the pleasant from previous labs. Those are about touching into tension, but then letting it go. Touching into something that is intense, but then shifting the focus to something in your body that is less intense, right? The classic example I often give, you stub your toe on the coffee table, you slam your door in your hand in the door, it hurts like heck and you wanna feel it, but you're also gonna feel what? The ground under you. You're gonna sense your breath. You might hold a warm cup of tea to feel something soothing while you sense and feel that throbbing of your toe or your hand or whatever it is that might be painful. So this concept of titration and working with these big survival energies, again, we don't want to jump into the vat of all the intensity. We want to just have a little drop of it, but then direct our attention to something that's less intense. And we will do this naturally, even with kids. If you are around kids, maybe, you know, again, you want them to maybe feel something intense, but sometimes it's like, hey, you know, let's look over here. You know, I see this just occurred, but what's this over here? You know, maybe they're really focused on something that maybe they shouldn't be. It's like, let's go look at this tree over here. You know, and how can you divert attention with curiosity to something else? So that's a more subtle example, but just trying to give you little ideas of titration and how you can swing attention to other things so that something that's more intense can be less intense via a bit of a diversion to something that's still good, still a resource, and then it shifts that intensity in the body. So titration and practice, final bold pink at the bottom here. So when we're practicing, experimenting, and living, that's the word, living, we want to navigate our experiences so that sensations and activations, that's the next word, settle on a case-by-case basis. We're going to keep going and then I'll explain a bit more. Go to page 2. This is a follow through. In other words, don't flood the system. I'm glad I gave you the hydroelectric dam analogy. Flood the system. Don't flood the system. In other words, we don't want to do too much all at once or else the system can get overwhelmed. That's another way of saying flood. Don't overwhelm the system. Don't flood the system. When starting out, next line down, when our capacity, that's the word, is smaller, when our capacity is smaller, we want to aim to not let out too much energy. That's the next word, energy at once, all at once. Energy is just code for, we could say, survival stress, sensation, emotions. Because even, you know, someone might say, well, Irene, isn't it good to just have a big, big cry just to the point where, you know, you've gone through a whole box of Kleenex? Isn't that good to get that all out? And I might say, well, it depends on the person. Is the person able to be with every single feeling and sensation that's coming out with those tears, or have they kind of literally flooded the system with tears, but also are they a little dissociated from the rest of themselves? Because you can get into such a situation where you're emoting so much that you've lost connection of the rest of yourself, of where you are in space. So the moment you are disconnecting from the here and now, one might say, if you can't stay connected to that, you've gone too far. Doesn't mean that you're sitting there crying, I'm orienting. It isn't that obsessiveness of, okay, I have to be here when I'm crying. It's just, can there be this loose awareness? Yeah, I'm here and I'm feeling really sad, or I'm feeling this grief or whatever it might be. So again, this is not something I can say in a prescriptive way. You have to experiment with this with yourself as you move through various things that are moving through your system, these energies essentially. Next line down, we want to titrate our experiences and experiments as much as we can. And titration can mean like often smaller than you think. So, and I'll just use this in context of, say, the SPSM neurosensory exercises, when we might say go slow or do a little less, That might mean doing only 2 minutes of a neurosensory exercise. Whereas we might think doing less is, let's say it's 30 minutes long, doing 20 minutes of it. But titration can be even micro titration, and it can be a couple of minutes. Another way to titrate some of the lessons is to have them play in the background while you're doing other things, so that the information is just kind of floating around in the field, like you're listening to a song, but it's going into your we could say subconscious if you're not fully immersed in it. But you know, you might pause every now and again and like, oh, she just mentioned to feel the feet. Okay, I'm going to feel my feet as I'm putting away the dishes or whatever like that, right? So that's one way of titrating. It doesn't always have to be in the act of doing the lesson on the ground or sitting on a chair. It can be while you're doing other things. I don't recommend while you're driving, though. That's the only thing I don't recommend. Maybe listening to Seth's Q&A calls, that could be something you can listen to while you're driving, because it's a bit more educational. So again, titration can be tiny, tiny titration. Next line, babies have this innate capacity in them. We always go back to the baby. Again, if you've had the pleasure of being around an infant, you will know this. They might start to fuss or look away or stop engaging when they've had enough. That's the word, enough stimuli. What I mean is, if you've ever been holding a baby or playing with a baby or an infant, even toddlers will lose attention, but the baby will, they won't say to you, hey, mom, I need a break. Right? They won't at age 6 months or 1 month. They'll look away. Has any moms here remember that, or you've seen that as grandparents or aunties or uncles or siblings, right? They look away. That's them saying, enough. I need a break. My system has hit a limit. I can't keep playing these games. I'm done. Right. And so they are so smart. They're feeling it, but they don't know how to communicate quite yet. That's enough. And it's that attunement with them and giving them the time. And then they will come back. You know, they will come back. Maybe they'll come back and they'll be hungry, or maybe they'll be tired, but they will give you the information that you need to know so they can be taken care of. It's quite exquisite. Unfortunately, what often occurs, and this is again more aligned with if mom or dad doesn't understand this, or they have some of their own early trauma that they're still working with, a common thing can be, baby doesn't love me anymore. I need you to look at me. And I've sadly seen footage and research videos where the mother will force the child to look at her, because she feels abandoned, right? And that baby ain't abandoning her at 6 months old. She's just needing a timeout. She needs her nervous system to come down. So just an example of how we can offer that attunement, but also how that attunement gets messed up with if the parent or the caregiver isn't aware of what's happening at that neurological level. Next line down, another hallmark. Some water. Another hallmark of attunement, that's the word. Another hallmark of attunement is being able to recognize this as the caregiver and support their natural rhythm of approach and avoidance, or approach and that's enough, boundaries. And again, that's in reference to the baby. Animals do this too. You can't force, well, some people try, but you cannot force a dog or a cat to want to be petted, right? They come up, they want it, and then when they're done, they're out. And if you keep doing it, what will those animals often do? They'll snap at you, or they'll growl. They'll say, I don't want it anymore. Right. And so they're smart. They know when they've had enough. And it's very, very important for us to really listen to that. Next line, our birthright, healthy aggression, and the energy of the emotion, anger. So I have done another video on this. It's on that playlist on what I think it's called, the origins of healthy aggression, or how healthy aggression begins. And so the first line there I have in quotes, that's mine. So this is more toddler speak. Grabs the thing from, you know, their sibling. That's mine. That, like, that is, believe it or not them trying to be difficult. They're trying to exert, like, I want that. It's a healthy, aggressive statement. Me, this is for me. Of course, we have to teach at a certain age to share and all those things. And that's where humans are a little more difficult and tricky. But that is still okay. And that's where then the healthy connection of, and I have here, share, please, you know, we can share, that kind of thing. And of course, all kids are a little different because they do have souls that are a little different. But again, from a parent point of view, don't see that as that kid is being difficult and mean. They're just exerting their aggression. That's mine. Another thing that we see in infants, the baby, especially when mom, and she has hair, will tug on hair, pull it, scratch. I have tiny punches, the baby's mini fists. This is more a toddler thing, but grabbing a dog's tail, pulling really hard, like it's them testing their strength. They're all of a sudden getting these hands and this sensation and this energy, and the muscles are working more and their dexterity is there and they're testing it out, right? And again, this is why working with the movement, and we'll work with hands a bit more in later labs, is so important. Because what if when you were little, you went to do these things with mom or whomever, and you were slapped? Yeah. I have true story. Friend, acquaintance had a newborn quite a while ago, and the little guy started scratching and punching mom while I think mom was feeding. And she really didn't know what to do. And she was a good mom, but it's just, again, this stuff gets lost in our DNA and our psyche. And so she went online and she Googled what to do when your baby starts to hit you. And the first response that Google pumped out was, hit your baby back. And she knew, yeah, I'm not doing that. So thank God she had the knowing, I ain't going to hit my baby. And so she asked me, and I said, well, this is probably what's occurring. It's most likely this is what's occurring with him. And so the next time he did that, she did what I suggested, which was play a little game, a little boxing game with him. Grab his little hands and be like, wow, you're super strong. I really felt that. And do a little tug of war. And she met him with his energy and his aggression and his strength. And he never did it again, ever. So sometimes it just takes that one little bit of attunement for mom to say, I see you, I feel you, you're so strong. Let's play a little game. And then that was all he needed. But imagine again, if that isn't met, the inner frustration that that little kiddo is now carrying, right? I never got to put out my life force energy to mom. What the heck, right? Where is she? She's not listening to me. So really important, really important. The other thing too, so in terms of, let's just say, because let's say that the bulk of us might not have had that fortune to have a mother that asked about that and figured out what to do. So it could be that the storing of energy is aggression, is anger, but it also could be sadness, collapse. Right? Frustration. It doesn't necessarily mean that when you're healing this as an adult, there might be anger, but there also might be the feeling of I'm not allowed to express. So it might show up in more of a, what we would call that high tone dorsal, the freeze, the collapse. And this is so common in our society, folks who can't push forward with life. They can't get going because something is holding them back. That resistance can often be a sign of that little bit of spark that never was allowed to, like the pilot light. If you've ever had a gas fireplace or burners, like you need the pilot light to be on. So in many ways, that pilot light got shut off and we got to find a way to get it up and running again. So the other thing that can come up is shame. If we were shamed, even at that young age, in a toxic way because of our expression, and parent, caregiver can't handle that, if we were ridiculed, shamed, put down, what can also be under that shame and that collapse in the body is this healthy aggression that never got to come out. But sometimes we have to work with maybe the shame, maybe it's the sadness, maybe it's the grief, maybe it's the terror, maybe we got screamed at when we showed our healthy aggression. I'm just popping some of these ideas out because it doesn't always come out as this lovely life force energy of, I need to move forward and push forward. Often we got to go through some sludgy stuff before that essence comes out of us, but it is there. It's all in our birthright, that stuff. So bottom line, if you ever have a baby, they're starting to do that, that's cool. And you play with them and you help them express that energy and that force. I have a little more water. How's everyone doing? Take a second to orient. All right. Yeah, the other thing, someone's comment just made me remember, the other thing that I've also heard when people go online to try to find ways to, I'm saying this with air quotes, fix a baby that's being aggressive, is some of the answers will be kind of very Pavlovian, like don't hit them, but pinch them or flick them so they get a bit of a shock, right? And basically what, and that will work because at that young age, it's a conditioned response. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be pinched. And so the child will stop expressing that because they don't want to feel the hurt. They don't want to feel the harm. While I'm on this, the other thing that I've seen commonly, and it's very wrong, is I've seen babies on social media whom are crying and they're upset. And usually it's the father will take, I've seen this, they'll take a didgeridoo or they'll drum really loud and they'll blast that sound into the room and they think it's healing the baby because it's a healing didgeridoo sound or a drumming sound or the om sound from yoga. This pretty viral video that went, there's a viral video a while ago where this man was oming to his crying baby. And what do you think happened? The baby went into high tone dorsal shutdown because it was so loud and the vibration is making them think big, scary thing outside of me. I am going to shut down. If you watch these videos, you see the baby dissociate and then they stop crying. The sad thing is that a lot of the comments under these videos are congratulatory. And oh my goodness, you're such a great father for being spiritual with your baby. It's like that baby is not being spiritual. That baby is going into shutdown because the loud sound is so big, right? If you've ever been on the sidewalk and a big, big, loud truck comes by, it vibrates you. Imagine what that little tiny immature system is having to deal with when it gets blasted with that sound. So I just share that because you see these things and A, know that it shouldn't be done, not to such a little person. Now, the sounds that you're going to learn, the voos and the voo-ahs that you'll learn in these labs coming up, someone might say, well, Irene, why are we then doing these toning voo sounds to shift the vagus nerve? It's like, well, we're adults, we're more mature, and we're doing it in a way that's titrated, right? I'm not sitting with you screaming voo at you. you're doing it yourself in a way that your system can with the capacity that you have, right? So it all depends on context and where the system is at. All right, had to put that little piece in there. So next line underneath the birthright one. So these are examples, as I've said, of the beginning energies of healthy aggression and life force energy being felt and expressed. These examples being the ones just above the four bullet points. Now, next line. I've kind of already said this, but we'll repeat it. But if the mom, doesn't have to be the mom, it could be anyone who's with the baby. If the mom doesn't know how to meet, that's the word, meet, that energy in a caring and inviting, attuned and encouraging way, the baby won't feel met and she'll sense unsafety. It's as simple as that. This is not safe. I just expressed myself with the movements of my hands. I'm having a good time. I'm feeling this positive energy coming through my body. She's obviously, the baby isn't thinking that. She's feeling that. She's sensing it. And I was just not, I wasn't met. What gives? Why is this happening? Right? And so the registering is something is not safe. Something about me is not safe. You see how this starts so young? So without consistent safety, you get the slow decline. That's the word. Decline of life force energy expression. So this is the shutdown. This is the collapse. Next page. The biological message, so page 3, is that of no acceptance. No acceptance. And when a person doesn't accept you, especially your primary caregiver, usually this is mom, you don't accept yourself. How many people suffer with this, right? That energy of non-acceptance turns inwards. This is like the clincher here, everyone. That energy of non-acceptance turns inwards to, that's the word inwards, to low self-esteem, self-hate, shame. That's the word. We're going to talk more about shame later, like next week. Later. The big one, right? So this is what occurs. We're trying to express ourselves and we're met with either nothing or stop that. And so what do? We swallow it back inside and we go, okay, well, what am I going to do with this? And at that young age, a baby can't figure it out. All they know is I got shut down. So I better shut down and I better stop my biology. I better stop this birthright. So therefore, next line, to re-access, there's good news. We can change this, right? That's why we're here. So to re-access the true self, one must tap into their healthy, that's the next word, aggression, and wake up the life force energy that was shut down due to basic survival responses. That's the word, so long ago. So I'll say that one more time. To re-access the true self, one must tap into their healthy aggression and wake up the life force energy that was shut down due to basic survival responses so long ago. And again, reminding everyone, this expression, this feeling of life force energy, we need to take our time getting there, especially for those who are living with, say, chronic fatigue, autoimmune, you've been in deep, deep collapse and shut down for a long time, right? The system has protected itself, right? That has been a protective mechanism to stay safe. And we need to slowly peel these layers off so that the system can really find foundation and capacity. And then eventually, because the system wants to be better, it wants to have that flow, that life force energy, it will come up and out. The slower and the more capacity building you do at the beginning, from my experience, I don't want to say it's easy, but I'll use that word, the easier it is when those life force energy pieces come out, because your system's just waiting for it. It's like it's just waiting for that drink of water after not having water for so long. Next line down, bullet point. So this is in reference to starting to move some of this stuff. So the lessons of making sound via vu and vu ah, these are some of the lessons that you're going to get into soon, is to help spark up life force energy in small titrated pieces. The lessons of making sound via vu, vu, ah, is to help spark up life force energy in small titrated pieces. It, so the vu and the vu, ah, and the reason why we go ah is it opens up ah, the jaw. So a lot of, I'll get into this soon, but working with healthy aggression, often these things are stored in the mouth, in the jaw, in the teeth. What does a dog do when they want to tell you, don't touch my food? What do they do first? They'll just lift their little lip. Oh, you know, they'll, right? Don't do this if you have a dog, but if you've ever seen it, they'll usually titrate their expression. If they know they're your owner, they'll just lift a little bit of their lip and they'll just show their teeth. And then if you keep persisting, that's when the hurr comes. And then if you keep persisting, that's when the snap comes, right? So as humans, animals, we have that in us. And a friend, this was a long time ago, she was learning some of these practices through me. And I don't know what the context was, but something really pissed her off. She was walking down the hallway and she didn't realize that her husband was somewhere in the house. And she just let out a big growl like a dog. And he was like, what the heck was that? She's like, I'm just pissed off. Right. And so, and he was fine with it because he knew that she was doing some of this work and learning, but that's a great example of, right, letting that impulse come out, not suppressing it. Right. So she didn't go and like hit the wall or destroy anything. She just let out this growl audible to get some of that anger out, right? I'm pissed off. I'm just gonna hurt, right? And so again, this is where if you have partners, husbands, wives, whatever it might be, you know, it is important to say, hey, I might growl a little bit. It's not you. Unless maybe there is something that they do that you don't like. But again, you have to be mutually agreed upon that these are the expressions that are coming out. Seth and I, believe it or not, we will growl at each other. If we don't like something, it'll happen because we have the common language. It seems a little primitive and primal, but it actually serves a purpose that you can't convey with words. And it's quite liberating when you do have someone that you can be with where you can express that. So little sidebar there, in case you are living with someone who's open to exploring this stuff, it can be really, really fun. And just not feeling it, don't come near me, right? Not now, right? These, again, boundary, healthy aggression, same thing. All right, but don't do this if they don't know about it. So, because that can trigger something, right? So you got to have a conversation. Kids love this stuff. You give little people permission to do like the animals do, it really helps them express. Because it's not, you can't say, honey, how are you feeling? What are you feeling? They might not know how to articulate it, but they might know, I feel like a lion that wants to roar. right? And then you let them and you get on the ground with them and you be animal with them. Teenagers, not so much. Might be, you know, if they're too cool, they're not going to do that. So you want to get that. If they're young enough, it can be really fun, right? Really fun. All right. Bullet point. So again, if vuvuzela helps to mobilize, that's the word, mobilize that deep, visceral, biological, cellular knowing that you, I matter. So it helps to mobilize that energy that you matter and that you deserve to be alive. Alive. This is very different from acting out. That's the word, acting out, or watching a movie that might spark a produced aggressive reaction and feelings of adrenaline. This is very different than acting out or watching a movie that might spark a produced aggressive reaction and feelings of adrenaline. Now, I'm not saying don't watch an action movie. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's not enough to see something that's aggressive or just be a boxer for the sake of hitting the air. That this is not, if I'm pissed off and I just do this, it ain't going to do anything. So a lot of times people will say, well, just start doing some boxing or learn how to fight. That's great for physical training. I would say learning how to box is actually a really difficult thing to do, or any kind of karate or anything like that. But if you're not connected to the anger and aggression and the held rage that might be inside, and you're not moving that out intentionally, this comes back to the first part of our training call for anger and healthy aggression. Remember where I said phase one, phase two, they got to come together. It just isn't enough to make the movement. The movement is good for exercise, but not for healing this old life force energy stuff that's stuck. It's not enough. And then the next line, cathartic practices tend to tap into this kind of only outward expression. So again, that's the retreat where they give you a baseball bat and you hit a pillow with a bunch of people. It might be fun and you might be getting your heart rate up, which is going to give you a bit of a dopamine release, a bit of a, you know, chemical shift. So you will feel different, but it is not connecting to that internal stuck life force energy. This is where people, I think, wonder, I'm going to all these things, I'm getting all this catharsis out, I'm at drum circles and dancing circles, and I'm going to all these things, and I'm moving and I'm shaking. And then the person feels the same way, collapsed and not well the next day. It's like, that's because it was a nice experience, but it wasn't actually doing the real deep nervous system work. Nothing wrong again with going to a dance or going to a drum circle, but just know that often in those contexts, it's just too much going on to really be working with the deep stuff. Depends on the teacher, but I haven't seen it done very successfully as of yet. All right, the tricky and sticky nature of anger and healthy aggression work. So tricky, sticky nature of anger and healthy aggression work. So first bullet point there. It can be tough to imagine a lifetime, that's the word, a lifetime of stored up anger and aggression coming out in one big bang, right? I've already alluded to this when I mentioned the beginning, where I talked about titration, the analogy of the dam, you know, all of that being released in one go. We don't want that. We want it to really come through and out. And I'll give you an example. So you remember, obviously, the swimming pool beach ball example, right? Swimming pool, the capacity is small, lots of beach balls. If you were to try to move healthy aggression and anger out before the swimming pool is ready or bigger, it's going to feel really tough. Yeah. It's going to feel like very, very hard to get those balls out, and everything under is buried. It's super tight and squashed. What is going to occur is as that pool, I'm using my hands here to describe this, as that pool gets bigger and you're taking some balls out, but you're also not letting more balls in. So every time you stub your toe or you hurt yourself, you're really being with your body, right? This is old stuff. You're not letting more balls in and your pool is getting bigger, which means when some of the healthy aggression and anger comes out, it's possible it might not seem as big as it is because the capacity is bigger. And so this is where one might go, well, was that anything? I just got a little heat of anger and I had a bit of a scream, but that doesn't seem like that matches up with all the stored stuff from my childhood. And the answer might be, well, you might, yes, but you've also been working at making this pool bigger and processing things more in the moment. And so when these old pieces come out and out, it actually might not be a huge, huge release. It could be, but it might not. So that's the other thing, is try not to project. That's the word I'm looking for. Don't project what it might look like when anger and healthy aggression comes out, because you don't know, especially if you've really been working on building up your capacity and not allowing more balls to come into your pool. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Okay, next page. So this is in reference to, again, how we express and feel these things coming up and out. So a person will stop their aggressive impulses, and even a person will stop, that's the word, their aggressive impulses, and even just the feeling of anger, even just the feeling of the anger energy I have written there, the anger energy, as they feel, sense, think it might harm, that's the word, others, harm others. I'm going to read that one more time. A person will stop their aggressive impulses and even just the feeling of the anger energy as they feel, sense, think it might harm others. Where do you think that ties in with what I was saying a few pages ago about the little baby that starts tugging on mama's hair or hitting, and then she's told, stop? She's feeling, I must be hurting mother if she's telling me to stop. A common one that Peter Levine shared with us when we were learning this information way back when is the baby might do that, and his words, not mine, the mother then thinks this little infant is a monster and must be put down into the crib, away, not put down, but on into the crib, right? It's too much for her. She thinks that this kid is being mean. She's not being mean. And so this is where, when we start to feel this as adults, there can be this feeling of, I can't do that. Has anybody experienced that, where they start to feel some of these aggressive, I see a few people nodding, and it's like, I can't do that. I caught in the comments here, someone said, it's so interesting. This is when I was growling, how you freely are able to growl like that, Irene. There's a lot of shame coupled with it in there for me. So if you are sensing shame, like it's, you're feeling shy and not sure when some of these voo exercises are coming out, the sounds, did anybody read Seth's article about squeezing towels and that? If you feel gross and I can't do this and I might get hurt by someone or this isn't right, then that means you don't do it yet. Your system isn't ready yet. It's still too raw and real. So that's where you go back to working with more of the kidney adrenals, working with the diaphragms, working with the joints, working with just orienting, and this is me, these are my feet, working with feeling your sensations when you stub your toe. And you know, if you're feeling shame and you beat yourself up, if you hurt, if you stub your toe or something like that, then that's an indication you're not ready yet to do the bigger voos and ahs and anger pieces, right? So this is all in service of continuing to build your capacity and titration, right? We just don't want the system to regress back into feeling shame for expressing life force energy. So when the life force energy is really strong and really there, there will be no hesitation. None. Just like that mama bear ain't going to hesitate if a pack of wolves are trying to get her baby cubs. She is going to fully go. So that's how we want to see this. And it will come. It comes. You just have to be patient with it. Build more capacity. So next line down. I'm going to read this because this is kind of a run-on sentence. So a person will stop, first line, their aggressive impulses and even just the feeling of the anger energy as they feel, sense, think it might harm others. And or a person might stop and not allow themselves to feel it because it was unsafe. That's the word, unsafe to express it in the past. Or they knew the anger, the expression of anger they knew from the family system was explosive, abusive, terrifying. So again, for those of you that said you had abusive, violent anger growing up, it makes complete sense that your system would be a little hesitant to express this when you're just starting out. Like this is the first year you even consider these things, right? So again, give yourself time. Next line down. There is often immense shame, that's the word. There is often immense shame coupled with these powerful life force sensations and emotions. I've already mentioned this, right? There's often immense shame coupled with these powerful life force sensations and emotions. Next line down. Another commonality. So this again is in reference to anger, healthy aggression, is having zero, none, nada, no model for any kind of life force expression. Meaning the environment was devoid of all emotion, shut down, and any sign of warmth or affection was the rule. So another commonality, I'll read this again, having zero model for any kind of life force expression. Meaning the environment was devoid of all emotion, shut down, and any sign of warmth or affection was the rule. Hence, titration. That's the final word. You come full circle, titration. Sometimes, and I just see this by watching pop culture and social media, there'll be some authorities who are experts who speak with conviction, you know, and power and presence. And a lot of times someone will hear these people speaking and they'll think that that person is being abusive. But actually, it's a human that's just very powerful and has good life force energy. But if you're not used to hearing that energy and feeling it in your body, it will be seen as, oh, well, that person's dangerous, right? And so it is also interesting to note when you interact with people, how comfortable are they with their life force energy? How comfortable are they at being in their truth? We could say in their sovereignty, right? And this is where, again, for you personally, you'll have to play with these boundaries or also these elements of, I would like to try that or I don't like that, right? So anger and healthy aggression is a spectrum. Being irritable is a sign that there, I mentioned this already two calls ago, but just to review, being a little frustrated, a little irritated, that's on the spectrum of this anger emotion. Whereas the spectrum where it's not good is where it turns to violence and harm and hurt and hurting things and people, right? But when we don't allow ourselves to feel these little bits of irritation, frustration, that part of you that says, I don't like that, but you hold it in, or please don't do that, you know, whatever it might be, all these little pieces we store and store. And then this is why we think there are explosions of violence, is the system hasn't let out the steam enough. It's holding, holding, holding in. And then it just takes one big event or stressful thing and the dam blows up, right? So it can be interesting to experiment, listening even to some things and people and shows where it's like a little uncomfortable, where someone's being really not aggressive, but certain in how they speak. So just something to, I find interesting when I watch various things, listen to podcasts, that kind of thing, is you can really sense when someone is in their power versus when they're hiding a little bit. And we really want to be in our power in a way that is healthy and directs us in the right direction. That's another little bit of verbiage. The word aggression actually comes from the Latin aggredi, and aggredi means to move forward. So the root of the word aggression is not about being aggressive, it's about moving forward. So for those of you that know you're having trouble moving forward in life, doesn't have to be with healing, it could be with career or having a conversation, that's tied in with your life force energy. So all roads that lead back to nervous system regulation. You regulate your nervous system, you grow capacity, not only will the internal body start to heal and your external world will become more aware, you'll be more clear with what you need and what you want and how to move forward to get that. And it doesn't require, you know, journaling to death. It's just working with your biology, really. So page 5. I'm glad someone thought that was funny. So, nothing wrong with journaling, but are you journaling in a way that is in your nervous system, or is it just mind stuff that's not really processing what's inside? All right. Exploring healthy regression. So this is a review. Some of this was in Seth's article. Some of this obviously will be in the lessons where I teach the VU and the VUA. Exploring healthy aggression. So again, anger is often associated with tension in the body and its musculature system for the most part. I talked about this the last healthy aggression call, part one. I read an excerpt. It was from a Gabor Mate book about, and I won't read it again. You can go and review about when you finally express the anger, the life force, there's a softening of the jaw, there's a lightening of the tension. And think about it, if you're holding in that energy, you're basically holding in that energy. All those muscles are not getting to act and release. So again, it's this ability to slowly start to let these things out in a titrated way, of course. Sometimes we need to create, that's the word, create safe, aggressive experiments to help free up stored anger and aggression. Sometimes we need to create safe, aggressive experiments to help free up stored anger and aggression. So this is where you might be going, well, what does that mean, Irene? And I say, well, that is doing the VUs, the ahs, the squeezing of the towel. And then you might say, well, Irene, didn't you just say it's not enough to just do the movement? And I say, yes, but it's about doing it with intention. So I'm just going to experiment. You don't have to do this, but feel free to if you want. I'm just going to experiment with what it might feel like to bare my teeth as if I was that dog saying, get away from my food. What does that feel like to imagine showing your teeth? What is it like to imagine a little growl? Is that kind of fun? Does it tickle a little bit? Does it give you some energy, or is that just a little too much? Or what is it like? I don't have anything to squeeze to have it, you know, to feel that energy. Even a deep sigh can be a way to start moving some of that energy. Stomping your feet. What do kids do when they're just the little ones? Right? They just not liking this, right? I don't want this, right? These little things that you start to see, I'm not saying go and have a tantrum, but sometimes it can be useful to let that energy out. Ask Seth. I've had many tantrums, but it's not because I'm mad at him. It's because I'm moving a frustration out, and it just makes sense to be that little girl that maybe I never did that with. I never was a misbehaved kid, ever, never, right? So as an adult, I've expressed that because I just didn't do that when I was a kid. I had the family that was straight-laced, right? So these things can start to come out, and they can be quite fun as an adult to consciously do these little things that seem infantile, but are actually allowing you to get some of the stuff that never did come out. So other experiments for helping free up this energy are, but are not limited to, accessing the jaw and the facial muscles. So this is where that growling, making sounds, baring the teeth. All sorts of things that you can do with the face and the jaw to make movement. It's also really good for wrinkles. So true story, when we're not expressing and we're keeping things held, the face gets tense. The skin on the face is the only skin in the body that's attached to muscle. Right? All the other skin isn't attached to the muscle, the face. And so when the face is tight, it forms these lines. This is why some people will say those who are getting more regulated as they age, they look younger, because they're getting rid of all the tensions that are stored. It's true. So that would be another reason to work with the jaw and these movements, is to allow less tension in these muscles of the face, right? So next line down, vu and ah, again, I've already mentioned those. These are subtle entry points to unlock held aggressions. This is a direct quote from Peter Levine. The jaw is the linchpin to anger. Linchpin is just a fancy word for it's the ticket in. And it comes back to that primal notion of the animal growling, barking, defending, biting, snapping. Doing the vu and ah with movements of the hands, feet, pelvis, eyes, whatever the impulse brings. So again, when you are doing the vus and the ahs in your own time, when you get to those, see, like, is there a desire to stand up? Is there a desire to do, you know, again, these are our hands, but they're also our claws, right? Those that garden, you're like an animal. You're digging in the earth. If someone is hurting you, you're going to swat at them. You're going to scratch at them. A lot of people, when I worked with them who have had sexual trauma, physical abuse, the movements are often like a wild animal trying to bat and scrape and hit and choke. So we also want to bring our hands and our pelvis and our eyes into this. You know, you would never growl at someone in the wild and close your eyes. It won't work, right? You have to have your eyes open. So again, this is where simple sitting meditations, where you're just trying to be calm and you're just trying to work with anger, it's not enough. You have to visually see and imagine that energy going out to the person or the thing you're wanting to express that to. And these come into the lessons that you'll do soon. So Hands, feet, eyes, pelvis. It all needs to be connected. Snarling the lip, baring the teeth, biting. I've already mentioned this. Growling, hissing sounds. I live where there's a lot of geese. Geese, those big birds. They're pretty benign, and I test this every now and again. If you get a little too close to them, obviously they don't bark. They have this hiss. It's really interesting. And that's their way of saying, get away, right? And you don't want that thing biting you because it's quite sharp, but they'll hiss. So again, hissing, snakes, what do? Right? They do that too. Pushing with the hands, flailing with the arms. That's that tantrum. You know, like this is where these motions are really important. I won't stomp my table, but it's like the slamming of the hands down. Now, again, you don't want to hurt yourself, but that can be another way to get aggression out. That's where those big meditation cushions are quite useful. They're very hard. They're great at hitting, right? They're solid, dense, usually cotton inside. Stomping the feet, saying no, stop that. Movements to hit, punch, scratch. So this is all fair game for helping mobilize healthy aggression and anger. It isn't just about the mouth, and it isn't just about twisting things. It can be anything. It could be kicking, right? Kicking something away, kicking something away. So there's no real rule, because at the end of the day, each person is different in how their aggressive impulses might have been stored. I saw someone mentioned tickling at some point. Don't ever tickle a child. Don't do that. That is hurting them, and they might laugh a little bit, but it gets to a point where it's frantic, and they hit, you know, they'll hit you away. They'll kick you away, but usually the big person is big enough and they can override that to the point where the kid's just not able to do anything anymore because they're oversensitized with the tickling. So I don't recommend that as a game, right? Because again, you watch a child when they start to get tickled, they'll start to kick their legs, right? And that's their fight response, trying to get the heck out. So not to say that you can play with an adult. Seth tickles me. There's a moment where it's fun, and then I'm like, stop. And then he stops. So that's a game with two adults, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But little child, please don't tickle them. Really important. Play other games with them. That's where being animals and all that kind of stuff is important. All right. That was obviously always a lot. I hope you were all taking care of yourselves as you listen. Again, remember at the beginning, I said, be very careful how you use your language about saying that you're behind, that you're only on this, that you're just only gotten to that. I know we don't talk a lot about the mind and the psyche, but it's there, right? And we're human. So just watch it. Watch when you bring those little things in and see how that might be keeping you from moving forward in the way that your system can right now. So thanks, everyone. Thanks, Rebecca, for being in the chat. Thanks for Bonnie and your presence here today, and to the 195 people here live. And obviously, those listening to the recording, thank you for tuning in after the fact. All right. Go in peace. May the force be with you, your life force be with you. And do we have a call next week? We don't. Time is just flying by. So I lied. Next week, there is no training call. It's our off week. We do the next week. Okay. So then we'll end with lab 8, 9, and 10. And it'll be May, just like that. All right, everyone. Take good care. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye for now.